Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Maybe you like wine coolers, plenty of those. Water, always. Soft drinks, plenty of them. Snacks, you always need snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day in the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. All together now, yes, I'm talking to you in Sealands Grove. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. The NFL playoffs are this weekend, including the Eagles and Seahawks. You want to stock up? Go now. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. What a Gator Bowl last night. Tennessee gets an onside kick and a touchdown late to beat Indiana. Our play-by-play call of the day.
Second down and 10. Tennessee with two wideouts to the left. They're going to hand off to Gray. He's got a big hole over the left side, down to the five, to the checkerboards. Touchdown, Tennessee.
My old friend Bob Kessling with the call on the Tennessee Volunteers Radio Network. Gray recovered the onside kick, and then he scored the touchdown. A missed extra point by Indiana earlier in the game came back to haunt them. And Tennessee won it 23-22 in the Gator Bowl. I believe there's a bowl. I think the famous Idaho Potato Bowl is being played right now. Let's check and get an update before we bring in Cam Miller from Pro Football Focus. Are they playing that game right now? Yes, they are. Nevada and Ohio University, 3-3, 56 seconds to go, first quarter, Bluefield, Boise. With that, now we bring in Cam Miller, Pro Football Focus. Cam, there are going to be two players that have so far from Penn State declared early for the NFL draft. KJ Hamler, we'll get to him in a moment, and also Yetur Gross-Matos. Yetur said before the Cotton Bowl he was going to go. He then played well in the Cotton Bowl. Where does he grade out? Where does he fall into place? What say you?
It's very interesting. It's not necessarily a top-loaded sort of pass-rushing draft class this season, you know, outside of Chase Young. Then have to kind of, you know, figure it out from there who kind of fits your needs. And I think what he does and what he does well is, you know, wins with his hands, but also wins with speed and then a bull rush, too. There's a, you know, a value on a guy who can do everything from a pass-rushing standpoint. And I think kind of that's where his value will be. It's hard to peg him as anything short of, you know, day two at this point, just because you got to hope that maybe an NFL team, you know, values what he can do a lot, and then also that, you know, maybe vaults him up the draft board, up the draft list for those specific teams. So it's hard to say this early in the evaluation process until we know the full load of edge rushers coming. But, you know, you got to think he's up there clearly in that day two fringe, even day one aspect before we get into these individual workouts.
Right, and I think he'll work out well. I think, you know, I still think this is just me not knowing the total picture, and you've got a better handle on numbers than I do. But I think he's a 20-30 guy, you know, on day one. But we'll find out how it plays out. A guy that you've the guy you've been high on the entire time has been KJ Hamler.
Big fan of Hamler. This is interesting. That's the opposite of the sort of edge rushers and edge defenders not necessarily being top loaded. This is, you know, the most loaded wide receiver class. I have no issue saying, as long as I've been watching, as long as PFF has been grading. There are even guys that I respect that have been doing it for, you know, two decades that are saying this is the most loaded wide receiver class in history. And so, for that matter, you know, you kind of question the decision to leave, but I get it. Everybody has their own individual reasons. So, what I don't like about Hamler when you look at him, I mean, I have no issue calling him the human joystick. This guy can make anybody miss in a phone booth. So, short of that, I love that aspect, but he's going to have to work out and work out hard with his hands because, you know, we haven't charted with 12 drops on his 68 catchable passes thrown to him this season. So that's not a great drop rate, not a great drop grade, obviously. And so, you know, that's something he's going to have to show off that he could do. Maybe hit the jug machine before he goes to the combine or the pro days.
Right. Now, I want to get to a couple of other guys. C.D. Lamb declared from Oklahoma as well, and that's no surprise. I mean, if I'm looking at, I mean, just from afar, from 1,500 miles away, I said, you got to go. When you look at C.D. Lamb, what do you see?
I think he's more impressive overall than Marquise Brown was, his teammate was from last year now with the Ravens. I think that, you know, C.D. does everything that you would want a receiver to do and doesn't at an elite level. I mean, we saw him take over the Texas game, you know, forcing, I think we charted him with 6 missed tackles forced on one play alone. So, I mean, this guy literally just took over when they needed him to at times. And, I mean, he runs probably the second best routes overall next to Jerry Jeudy in this draft class.
Yeah.
But he's got the best hands and the best, I mean, some of the best after the catch. I mean, you're talking a guy who almost put up 10 yards after the catch per catch. So this is a, you know, a big play threat just waiting to happen, but also has no threat to go over the middle and can catch everything thrown his way.
I was completely shocked that Chase Young opted for the draft. I mean, it's obvious he needs more college time. when you look at the grades for him, obviously he's a top 5 pick. You know, how does he grade out, and why does he grade out the way he does? I mean, it's one thing to watch him. What's another thing when you grade him?
It's the highest grade we've ever given to a defensive end, and then at the highest grade overall, but also highest grade in pass rushing. That's obviously.
So you're saying he made the right choice?
We're saying he did, and we're saying that we just gave Nick Bosa the Defensive Rookie of the Year award too, so for him to be better than both Bosa's were as well in our PFF grading system, that only speaks to, you know, how ready we think he is also for the NFL. So not only making the right decision, it's just the way that he won and how quickly and how frequently he won those one-on-one matchups. And then when you're as schemed against, he's probably one of the most, if not the most, schemed against player in all of college football, just because, you know he's going to wreak havoc on your offensive line.
And Bosa was credited a great first half and a rather nondescript second half, but still he graded out well for the year for the 40. I think he only had 2 sacks the last 9 games.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. They definitely knew what they were doing. He had 80 pressures, which was 16 more than any other rookie we've ever charted in the NFL level.
That's impressive. That is impressive. All right, the 2 quarterbacks in the national championship game we've talked about before, but I want to get to Lawrence first. What is the big difference in his grading from the first 7 games of the season to the last 7 games we've seen?
You can cut it off right at the end of the first quarter of the Clemson-Louisville game and look from there. I mean, there's a reason he didn't throw any interceptions after that point of the season, and still hasn't.
Literally has thrown 0 since that game.
Nothing since that game. So the 2 came in the first quarter, and then after that, and so, you know, including that first quarter against Louisville, no quarterback is graded higher than Trevor Lawrence overall down the back half of the season. So he caught his stride at the right time, and that's the biggest change. The light flipped. It was like he realized he was making too many boneheaded decisions, or I think we've talked about it on this show, he was trusting his arm just a little bit too much.
Sure.
So now no issue taking down the check down if necessary or finding ETN out of the backfield. And that's, I think, what helped his game. He started making the smarter decisions and not trusting his arm as much or more than he actually could. He still can make all the throws, but he just started making better decisions and taking 5 yards as opposed to trying to force for 15.
Joe Burrow, now I want to get some context on this. I don't know what you didn't expect this question. How did he grade out last year? Because we know then we see this year. So what's been the big difference in the grade of Joe Burrow from 2018 to the grade of Joe Burrow in 2019?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, there were moments last year down the last 4 games of the season, he actually was the 3rd highest graded quarterback. So it was like there were moments in time that he kind of showcased he could do this. Obviously, Joe Brady harnessing the ability for him to throw the ball down the field, outside the numbers, on crossers, on goes, on any sort of other sort of lead pass. I mean, the ability for him to find his receivers. I mean, I don't know what flipped and what switched. I don't think you can chart Joe Brady with the ability for Burrow to find the receivers the way he has, because we have another advanced metric sort of behind the scenes. It's accuracy of these passes. So it's not just completions or even just drops from receiver. It's where the quarterback has put the ball on the receiver, whether that's away from coverage, directly in front, in route, you know, while he's running on his hands, perfect on his frame, above his head, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody, when targeting the ball down the field 10 or more yards, has ever reached those accuracy numbers that Burrow has. He's at a 76% accuracy rate, and the next closest is down at 54 this year. And then Baker Mayfield was in the low 60s, and that was the previous high. So this guy is, you know, you can't just give that to a coordinator. You can't just give that to a scheme. Burrow's arm and accuracy just has been taken to another level this season.
Jack Ham and I were talking about Allaire, the running back, and the fact that he is one of those rare running backs in college. And I saw Saquon Barkley do this, and now you see in the pros how Miles Sanders does this. But they run routes like a wideout does. What has Allaire meant to the LSU offense grade-wise, because he's more than, quote, just a running back?
Yeah, he's added significantly more value than any of these sort of, you know, you look at an A.J. Dillon from Boston College, even with Jonathan Taylor prior to this season, did not add anything in the passing game.
That's right.
Whereas Allaire and then also ETN, I mean, ETN wins the game against OSU for Clemson out of the backfield on a receive run of reception. So any of these guys that can do it, they're adding significantly more value. I mean, you become that escape valve or that safety net for a quarterback. And, I mean, you saw when the times did get tough against Auburn or against Florida's defense, who did Burrow look to? And it was Allaire out of the backfield. So that, I mean, it's almost unquantifiable. I mean, I know we have some metrics behind it, but it's one of those things that, you know, the relationship that Burrow has developed with Allaire.
Because you had to grade out everybody. You've had to look at everybody. What's a determining factor between these two teams that maybe under the radar, the grade show could be something that swings it?
I think it's if LSU's offensive line, and in particular their interior of their offensive line, can hold up against the Clemson defensive line. We know that Burrow has been great against pressure this season, but against quick pressure in the way that defensive line is able to generate pressure within 2 seconds is something that I really want to see if they can get it done, because Cushenberry at center has not been good and has allowed a lot of quick pressures. And the other thing is to watch Isaiah Simmons. If he plays his best game in coverage, like he's been able to do recently, I think that poses a lot of problems for Burrow.
Well, you know, what problems does LSU cause for Trevor Lawrence?
I don't think. I mean, if they need that, if Clemson's wide receivers are healthy, I don't think that secondary can cover them. As good as Derek Stingley is, and as good as Christian Fulton will be in the pros, Grant Delpit misses too many tackles, and Ross, Higgins, and ETN, when they get the ball, they force a lot of missed tackles. So, you know, for Higgins to be such a big body guy, have the hands and body control that he has, he's unguardable at this point.
If I'm on the 4x400, I'm giving Ross the baton and the anchor leg.
Absolutely, and I'm letting him run down the field and torch any of those guys on LSU secondary.
In fact, I might tell him to run the last two legs.
Why not at this point? He hasn't proven anything else.
Good. Keep going. Cam, absolute pleasure as always. Really appreciate your time, analysis. You know you mean a lot to the show.
And I can't say how much I appreciate it enough as well. Happy New Year to you, and happy to be back.
Great to have Cam back. Cam Meller, Pro Football Focus, giving us just a little different view, a little different angle. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Picks coming up, final half hour. By the way, the race for the bowl championship is also close. It's separated by a game, I think, or something like that. Talk about that. Joe Moorhead out at Mississippi State after just 2 years. I am not going to sit here and pretend I know the ins and outs of the Mississippi State Athletic Department. The only time I really have been around them in the last 10 years was at the NIT semifinals at Madison Square Garden almost 2 years ago. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know the ins and outs of Mississippi State. in the athletic department, how they operate, what they want, and so forth. That would be very unfair of me. 2 years, I've always talked about you need five. But at minimum five, I really you actually need six. You need to have a full team that's your team. Mississippi State, though, from the outside looking in, I'm not sure what the expectations are. Let me give you what I think is a good example. Since Jackie Sherrill left, and Sherrill at the end was starting to get losing records, Dan Mullen is probably the best coach Mississippi State has had in a long time. He went to bowl games in 8 consecutive years. He's now the head coach at Florida. And Dan Mullen is highly regarded, highly respected. So he takes Mississippi State to 8 consecutive bowl games. Do you realize in those 8 years, only one time did Mississippi State finish over 500 in the SEC? Think about that. This is the most successful guy that they have had. The guy they absolutely had to keep. And by the way, did a heck of a job in Mississippi State. So please. Right? But he only had one winning SEC record. A one winning season in the SEC. In those 8 years we went to bowl games each year. It's a tough job. Because you were in the same division with Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Texas A&M. It is, to me, the equivalent of being Indiana in the Big Ten East. Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State. Indiana won 8 games this year. Instead of winning a 9th. If they won a 9th game, they have won 9 games in Indiana since the 1967 Rose Bowl team with John Eisenberger. And for Indiana, they won every game they were supposed to win this year. And they lost every game they were supposed to lose. Ended up with 8 wins and 4 losses going into the game last night with Tennessee, which Tennessee won by 1. But to me, that's the Mississippi State is the equivalent of Indiana, except for the season Dak Prescott brought them such prominence. I think brought them to the Orange Bowl that year. That's pretty much been it. Obviously, last year they went 8-5. This year, 6-7. Allegedly, Joe kept his job with the Egg Bowl victory over Ole Miss. Now it's being alleged that he lost his job because of the fight with the quarterback. I can't remember who the quarterback fought. But he couldn't play in the game, in the bowl game against Louisville, and Tommy Stevens had to start. So, I don't know what they want. And at this point, what do? You've already signed 21 players in the early signing period. Their recruiting class, consensus-wise, was considered 24. Are those 21 guys allowed to leave? Go someplace else? Who do you hire? Another coordinator someplace, possibly? Or a head coach that's on the rise at a lower level? I don't know. I don't know what they want. I don't know what they want. So, and that's, I don't know enough about Mississippi State the inner workings of the athletic department to assess how they think. From the outside looking in, I just keep going back to the guy that's been their standard bearer until he took the Florida job, Dan Mullen, whom I thought did a great job at Mississippi State. He had 8 straight bowl seasons, yet had a winning record in the SEC once. I think that tells you a lot about the situation of Mississippi State football, the situation of it. I'm wondering if Dan Mullen did as well at that job as anybody possibly could. Well, Joe Moorhead only got 2 years. Wow.
HD.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Kyle, we now bring in the Wizard of the East. We'll now regale us with his picks and continue his winning streak.
What up?
And Kyle with that, he's here.
He's here.
I'm back, Kyle. How's it going?
Well, Matty Ice went out and he's a dad now.
I know. Amazing, huh? A New Year's baby. How cool is that?
So the first one at the hospital.
Oh, really? That's a big, big deal.
Yeah.
That's my wife asked, was it the first one at the hospital? So
yes.
That is really cool. So good for them. Glad everybody's healthy, and it's a great thing. So I'm still waiting to have one. I'm running out of time.
I would have made a great uncle. All right, so
yeah. Would have.
Would have. I'm harboring no hope.
So I have a zillion stepchildren, grandchildren, great grandchildren. I got like 30 of them, but ain't one of them mine. So we had a tough one last week. So Claire's son-in-law passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, that was tough. He'd been sick for a long, long time. So So you lose one, you gain one. That's life, right? So
It's hard. That's hard.
Yeah, it was a very difficult time for her daughter and the family. But he was sick for a long time, a good year and a half in the hospital. So you know, like the old saying is, it's a blessing because everybody's out of pain now, including his wife. She was amazing. She never left his side for a year and a half. And he was in Yale New Haven Hospital, which you know is a good ride from here. Every day she went down and back, every day. And Claire and her stayed in the hospital with him the last week and just slept in the room with him until he passed. Yeah, it was difficult. She's doing really well now because it's finally done, you know.
Yeah.
A difficult time. And she's got a 15-year-old daughter.
Mm.
Boy.
So, who needs attention? So, anyway,
yeah.
I was a bit disturbed by LSU. That disturbed me. I couldn't understand the coach being at the game. That just threw me. And I loved Coach O, but then he gives the guy the game ball. I'm like, man, you should be home with your son, not at coaching a football game.
Yeah,
I couldn't understand that. So,
well, I mean, unless they talked about it, I don't know. If they talked about it, everybody agreed.
Yeah, it's a very personal thing. I just was thrown by it. I don't know why. I just was like, I felt for the guy, and then I thought, my goodness, go home. You know, you don't need to be here. Players will play the game, and they'll get by without you. And then when he gave him the game ball, I was like, oh, my God.
If they talked about it and agreed to it, then I have no issue with it. That's a
personal. Well, I don't have an issue. It's none of my business. I was just bothered by it. It didn't make sense to me. I mean, yeah, you're right. It's a family thing, but I was just taken back by it. I don't think there. Maybe because we just had a death the day before,
right?
Or a couple of days that I was like, I couldn't wrap my hands around it. I would be in the car and heading home. That's it. There'll be another game next week, you know, right. But there is no tomorrow for her. And I was just taken by it. But just bringing it up because it bothered me.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's a very personal thing, and they discussed it themselves. So.
Yeah, if as long as they talked about it and everybody's in agreement, then everybody gets through grief in their own way. There is no one plan that's like, this is how you do it. Some people.
No, I know that. My way would have been, I'm
right.
out.
Exactly.
No,
you'd have gone back.
I'm out. I can't.
Right.
There is no other place I want to be except with my son right now.
Some people, for example, it takes them weeks before they can even try to get back on track. Some people, on the other hand, need to get back on the bike right away and go. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody's different. Everybody grieves in their own way, and there's nothing wrong with how someone grieves.
Right. Well, to get on a happier note, that was the coolest thing at the end of Penn State's game when he tackled that kid. That just freaked me out when Franklin tackled the...
I saw Cam Brown, yeah. I saw that later.
Cool.
I saw that later because from where I was in the corner of the end zone. There were a lot of bodies between me and that, I didn't see it. I didn't see it live.
Oh my God! I called. I said, "Claire, you got to come to see this." We kept replaying it, and watching it. And, you know, she's not a huge football fan by any means, but she thought it was the coolest thing. She said, "Wow, he's got great rapport with his players."
This team is very, very close, and the closeness of this team was built in a series of meetings last year at this time. Because James wanted to make sure he wasn't missing anything.
He's a very good man.
Yes, he is.
I'm
a big James Franklin guy.
And you'll find out why. But he is a very, very, very good man. So I'm very happy for him. And he is going to get that school into the Final Four and get to a national championship. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I believe you. I believe he will. I really do.
Right now, you're
shocked.
On that tier right below the Final Four. You're in the eight, not in the four yet, but you will get there.
Yeah, so. I think that's fair. I think that's very fair.
Yeah,
that's very fair. They got a lot of guys coming back, so we'll see.
A player here or there, and sometimes it takes something like LSU caught lightning in a bottle this year. You know, that kid's a great quarterback. Nobody knew, you know. They knew he was good, obviously, to play on that level, but on the level he's at. And what a good kid, too.
The Heisman speech he gave, which was ad-libbed, was off the cuff, and talked about everybody in need.
Yes, he was just so really, really wonderful story. That's where college football is wonderful. The pros has got a lot of work to do. Their brand, to me, is coming down, but the college football is just, you know, maybe 4% of them are playing for a paycheck. The rest are playing to win. That's it. And when they're a senior, that's their last game, you know. So it just makes it a whole different game. That's what happened with James Franklin at the end of the game. Was just the coolest thing you'll ever want to see, a coach with his team having a good time, you know.
Yeah, very, very close. So we're taking
a break.
I'm
in charge, don't forget, but you guys are my pals, too, you know.
Like he said, he's going to embarrass them doing the electric slide at their weddings. And he will embarrass them. We will come back with more in a moment and our picks here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. All right, Kyle, here we go. It's time to make picks. Now, Kyle, you can either stick to the script or you can add your own.
What's your own name, Kyle?
It is such a close competition, though, between the three of you that I don't really know if I want to mess with it because, Steve, you have never won this, and you're ahead getting towards the end of the season. So I don't want to mess with Matt's flow.
Listen to him cackling on the other end. Listen to this.
I told Kyle, we knew you were in it to win it when you took the you picked Dallas to beat the Giants.
And was I wrong? Was I wrong?
Huh?
Was I wrong?
No, you were right. You took Dallas, but it took you 3 years to pick.
It took me 3 years to
every year
up.
You get stopped. So you finally said, you know, if I want to win this thing, I got to stop picking the Giants.
I better do something here.
Sean actually texted me. He said, can you believe he took he took the Cowboys? I said, yeah, he's in it to win it. So you finally got a lead. You got to hang on to it. Don't screw it up.
I'm desperate.
It's your show. You got to win one of these. Hey, how about the college ones? You want me to quickly give you the stats on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm 26-11. Kevin the Suit is 26-11. Sean is 24-13. Steve, you're 24-13. And we call him Matt Mash. We're taking his M-A and Sean S-H. So Mash is 23-14. So that's real close, too. 3 points between first place. So me and Kevin are tied.
Yeah.
And you and Sean are tied. You're right behind it. It's two games back with, and everybody's got a chance. So, okay.
There we go.
Now we'll go to the other one.
All right.
I've got my notebooks here. I'm very organized. I got, see if this matches what you have, Kyle. I'm 69-43. Sean was 66-46, which would be Mash. That's Sean and Matt combined. And Steve is 71-41.
No, that's not what I have. But it's only a all couple right. off. You see, Matt said, he's like, yeah, the standings are on my desk. Well, I found this post-it note with standings on it, and I assume that it's it, but this might be from the week before. So, because I
so
have...
What do you have?
Well, I have you, Kevin, 69-43.
Yep.
Steve, 71-40. And then Mash, 67-46.
Well, they all have to add up to the same amount.
I know, and that's what I couldn't figure out.
They don't.
Yeah.
Just as Sean did, too. They have to add up to 69-43.
We might need a new in-house statistician.
They have to add up to 112.
Yeah, mine don't add up whatsoever. So I'd say that that something went wrong within the last week or two.
I think mine are right. So I've been pretty accurate here. 71-41 for Steve, 66-46 for Mash, and 69-43. So Steve's got a two-game lead going into the last couple of weeks here. You can't screw this up, Steve.
Okay, great. So let's get to this week's games.
But this is what we do. Steve, you go first.
Yeah, exactly. So what are the games?
Oh. All right.
Okay.
Because I got to drive to Philadelphia here as soon as we're done.
Well, the Bills and the Texans, that's a Saturday game, 4:35 kickoff.
Egad. I'm going to go with Houston because I just don't think Josh Allen is good enough.
All right. Kevin, are you second or is Mash?
Yeah, I took Houston because I think the stage is too big for Buffalo.
Well, Mash went with Buffalo.
All right,
Matt thinks that the Bills are going to pull it off.
All right, there you go.
So the next one would be Titans at the Patriots Saturday at 8:15 p.m.
Everyone is trying to bury the Patriots. Everybody. Not me. I think the Patriots will win.
I got the Patriots, too. Darn it. I can't catch up with you if I take the same team.
Hey, I'm going first.
Yeah, I know. Oh, boy. They're burying Tom Brady, and you don't bury Tom Brady. He's such a competitor, but gosh darn it. I'm going to take the Titans because it's the only way I'll catch you. So, Tennessee.
Matt.
We all take the same. You win. I can't accept that. So, go ahead.
And Matt must have been thinking along those lines, too. He must be playing very offensively because he picked the Titans as well.
There you go. All right.
So the Vikings at the Saints, that's Sunday at 1:05.
Okay, good game, tight game. I go with Drew Brees. I know the Saints in the playoffs have not been great over the last few years, but I'll go with Drew Brees to win this game in the Saints.
I'm very disappointed in Cousins. I think the stage is too big for him. I have New Orleans.
And Matt chose the New Orleans Saints as well.
I can fudge with the Titans because they can play some ball. I don't think Minnesota has a chance in this game.
Especially considering they've got a number of corners who are out of the game. Minnesota has a lot of corner problems injury-wise right now, but they will get Dalvin Cook back.
That's a big deal. It's just you can't make mistakes in these games. And Cousins, Cousins,
I don't think they have any...
Drew Brees, forget about it.
I don't think the Vikings, because of the injuries, have enough guys that can cover Michael Thomas.
There you go. Not many people healthy.
No,
carry,
healthy can
cover Michael Thomas.
I know. I did his games when he was at Ohio State.
Wow, great player.
Yep,
and good guy too.
Saving
Keyshawn Johnson's nephew.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Wow.
Yep.
Another little tidbit.
That's cool. What I specialize in.
Yep.
All right, saving the best one for last. We all know what a diehard Eagles fan that Matt Cotrillo is, and the Seahawks play at Lincoln Financial Field 4:40 on Sunday.
Well, since the middle of the third quarter of the first Giants game at the Link, the Eagles have played like a different team, and Carson Wentz is the big reason why. And for whatever reason, the Seahawks since Thanksgiving have not played that great, including a loss to Arizona. I will pick Philadelphia at home.
I took Philly also. I agree with you 100%. They're a different team now, and they're playing with a lot of they're peaking, like the Giants did a few years ago. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And they're playing very, very well. I got the Eagles.
And Matt chose the Eagles as well, and he mentioned a fun fact the other day. It turns out that the year that he and Lisa got married is the year that the Eagles went on to win the Super Bowl. So they're thinking now that they have a baby, maybe this could be the year they make it again.
Understand that 2 weeks ago he did not take the Eagles, and they won. Right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's true. Can remember he kept saying, I hope you're right, Steve. You got it right. He didn't pick me. He's in it to win it.
Yeah.
And
he lost.
Yeah, he lost that one. He should have taken the Eagles. Yeah. So I think he's got it right this time. Very happy for them. I hope the Eagles win the Super Bowl for their baby. Have a Super Bowl baby. That'd be cool.
Time
will
tell.
The team I think might win it this time? It's Kansas City.
You think so?
They've played very quietly, have played terrific down the stretch.
I think Baltimore's going to be really tough to beat.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah, they're real good. No one's figured them out yet. And you're going to have to figure them out. As long as everyone stays healthy over there, they're a tough out, boy. They don't have a week.
And then there's the 49ers. And then there's the 49ers.
They're good.
Is that a tough nut group?
They can control it.
That is a tough nut group right there. I mean, they are very
hard.
That
sure is, and they've got guys who've won it. So
you need a sledgehammer to crack that team. They are really, they can run it. Garoppolo's throwing it well enough. Defensively, they're tough. Mentally tough. I thought the Ravens game, they played great. I thought the Saints game, they played great. The Seattle game, they played great.
Well, you know what? They can run the ball, and they got that fullback, and they got two other guys who can run, and that's pretty much what Baltimore has.
Yes,
is they can run the ball. They control the game. They don't put up huge numbers because they don't have to. They control it, and that's what San Francisco does. They've got that fullback that can knock anybody on their can. I don't care who it is. He comes around the corner and he clears the way. And these guys are cracking 7, 8, 9 yards every time they touch the ball. I think one game I watched, both running backs had close to 150 yards apiece, and he was just knocking people out. So fullback, I forgot he's a Polish kid. Last name.
Today's show's been brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Off to Philadelphia. We'll talk to you tomorrow from the Palestra.